Father, we have gathered. We have gathered, Father, not only to praise and to glorify your name. For all of our days, God, we thank you. Thank you that we can gather in this place and that your presence is with us. We ask, God, that as we praise your name, that, Father, you will bless your people, whether watching, whether seated, whether gathered. Father, that your name will be glorified today. Thank you, God, for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for love. And thank you for men of faith today, Father. Whether they have children or not, God, we bless the men of our congregation. Bless the men that are watching. Father, we ask your presence to be with us today. We thank you and praise you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I thought maybe I should come up and go, gosh, golly gee, we're gathered. Like I was still in Walt Disney World. You thought I was going to do it. And then I thought maybe I should just go, we saw Donald too. We saw Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and Daisy and Pluto, and we saw all kinds of stuff. We walked, I know, poor fella me, sweated, hot, 20,000 miles, 20,000 steps a day. It was fun to be with the kids, but keeping up with all those kids is a challenge. But it was fun. We were glad that we had the opportunity to go. We had a few days of rain, not too bad, but hot. Whew. But we're glad to be back. Glad to be back doing what we love to do. And happy Father's Day, guys. Before you leave today, I thought maybe all of you needed a car wash, so I bought the men of our congregation car wash gift cards. So we thought you could, right over here on Van Dyke, right at Clinton River Road. I had gone by there occasionally. It's right on Clinton River Road in Van Dyke. Nope, it's just to the right of Clinton River Road.
Well, canal.
Canal. It's not canal. It's Clinton River Road. Trust me. Riverland. It's just north of Riverland. So if you head out of the church and get over to Riverland and take it to Van Dyke, just to the right of it is called Splash Car Wash. And I got enough for you to get two car washes to wash that car. Because somebody keeps telling me I come to church in a dirty car. He's not here right now. So I had this in mind when I did it. I thought, well, what a gift for us. You at least get your car washed twice, and I imagine you could refill it if you want. But it'll at least get your car washed a couple of times. So we want to say, happy Father's Day, guys. Go get your car washed on us at Bethany. What's going on in the life of the church? Dinner and Bible study. Wednesday night, we finished the book of Jonah. Jonah got swallowed, spit out, didn't like what was going on, and we finished that book. And Wednesday night, we're having Sloppy Joes and all of the fixings. We're going to do that, and then we'll gather in the sanctuary for Bible study at 6 o'clock. Now, we're kind of either going to take Mayhem, or I had talked a little bit about doing some of the podcasts. I know, Maria, you've already gotten into them. I don't know if you listened to all eight or not. But so we were talking about exploring some of the podcasts, the work that I did on my doctorate level. So we might listen to a couple of them and just have some discussion. We'll see how that goes. VBS, next week, as a matter of fact. Evanswood is working on VBS starting the 19th.
That's this week.
Yep. Today's the 16th, 3 days from now, so they'll start this next week. And they'll work on VBS. All of that's information there. It's at Evanswood. If you can volunteer and you want to join for them, please. They need all of the help they can get and people gathering. I think they got about 22 to 25 kids. There's about seven churches participating, so we've been a part of it through up to this point, but now it's time. So that's coming up. Let's see, what else? Metropolitan Church of God, MALU, Women of Wisdom. Metropolitan Church, which is on Schaefer in Detroit. The Malu, women of Malu are gathering Saturday the 24th. It's $25 a person. That's there if you're interested. Priscilla Schreier is a great speaker. You would enjoy it dearly if you wanted to go. That's there.
I already got my ticket, and there's no, like, service charges or anything. It was just straight $25. With some of those ticket services, they end up charging a fee, but this didn't. I'm like, good.
So that's at Metropolitan coming up. Let's see, what's next, John? There's all kinds of things I can share with you coming up. I got information today for Warner Camp. There's camp meeting coming up in August. There's all kinds of activities. The summer is just filling up quick. And if you're interested, please look at the website. Find out something if you want to connect. We haven't got a ton of stuff going on here, but I know in the fall there's a 70th anniversary coming up for Hope Crossing. We'll be a part of that. If you're interested, I'm just going to give you a little tidbit. Sanctus Rio, you know who they are, right? They're going to be there in concert on Sunday night at Hope Crossing. Now, how this happened is somebody from Hope's Crossing, this is one of their family members, son-in-law or something, but Sanctus Rio is going to be at Hope Crossing, which is unheard of. It's only because they know and they're coming and they'll do a concert Sunday night. So if you've got friends that want to go, Sanctus Rio, you'll be able to see them live at Hope Crossing coming up. We'll talk about that. Great group. If you haven't heard Sanctus Rio, just a wonderful group. There's a bunch of activities. I know pastors are going to be at Hope Crossing for their 70th. A big celebration, that's coming up. All of the details are escaping me. I'm still in Walt Disney World. But there's a lot of activities coming up, so please fill your calendars if you're interested, and we'll keep talking about them as they come along. Let's see. I guess it's time to worship. Prayer time coming up. We want to keep a lot of our family members in prayer. There's a multitude of needs. Some are not with us today. They're out vacationing, doing much, but we want to continue to keep them. A word of praise before I forget. If you haven't heard, Suzanne posted this past week. She is cancer-free. She got the results from the doctor, and her diagnosis says she's cancer-free, and now it's just a time of recuperating. So what a blessing that has been. She's just now getting the strength back, but she posted that, and I think it's safe to say, you know, we don't want to turn to the world, but give it God. Absolutely. Let's worship the Lord.
Of God, born of His Spirit. dark addiction starts spreading. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak to Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name.
God, as we even pause, Father, to recognize, to speak the name of Jesus. Father, even the enemy flees and runs to know the power of your name, to speak the word that is above all things. Before all things were created, the name of Jesus. Father, to recognize the power in your name, to bring healing, to bring life, to bring restoration, to know the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. Even the angels in heaven sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Father, we praise your holy name. We give thanks to the majesty and splendor of the name of Jesus, to even to witness the power of your name, for the touch of Almighty God. Father, to praise your name and to give thanks, to touch the hem of your garment and to be healed, to have our eyes open, the ears to hear again, our mouth to speak your praise, to have our legs stand strong, to have the arms raised to witness the power of your name, Father. There is power in the name of Jesus today, God. Whether we're one or whether we're a thousand, God, there's power in your name to witness what you are doing, God, all across this great world. The enemy wants to squash it. Father, when there's disasters, when there's turmoil, when there's sickness, there is power in your name, God. We just praise you, God. God, with every breath that we have, Father, whether we're on a roller coaster ride or whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're down in the valley, whether we're fighting through sickness, you are still God. Father, lead us. Father, I'm so thankful that we can gather in your name. For men of faith, whether they're working, whether they're out doing, whether we're gathering, whether we're worshiping you, Father, that your hand of mercy is upon your people. God, we receive answers to prayer every day. Father, our eyes are open. Our lives are restored. There's healing, God. There's restoration in the name of Jesus. Father, Paul stood up in the Areopagus, and he spoke the power that we're not worshiping a God made of gold and silver or stone or wood. We're worshiping a God who is alive today, and we can reach our hands out just as if he were sitting next to us. God, and we can touch you today. God, there is power in that name. Father, I pray that you'll remind us, God, whether we're walking, whether we're running, whether we're sweating, whether we're in the rain, that God, you are there in the midst of all things. And you are miraculous, God. Oh, Father, we just praise you. There is a multitude of needs among us, God. There is praise for answers to prayer and for healing. There is a time, God, we pray for the people, God, that were afflicted in Rochester Hills. We pray for the people of Florida and the flooding. We pray for the disasters that are going on around this country. And we pray that they'll see the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we just don't understand all the things that are happening around us. We don't understand the political environment. We don't understand the toils of life that seem to come our way. But we understand Jesus, and we understand the magnitude of that name. For over 2,000 years, that name stands strong. Father, you said as long as we're standing on the solid rock, that nothing can shift that rock. Father, it was the chief cornerstone, and all of the prophets and apostles hung on that. Father, your name is powerful. Your name is healing. And Father, we ask that as we speak that name today, God, you will bless your people. Father, continue to anoint the people of God. Anoint those who are away, those who are on vacation. Anoint those who are homesick. Anoint those that are shut in. Anoint the needs, Father, of this body. Father, I pray all the way for my friend, Pastor Salim in Kangoma. I pray for Bungoma, the church is there, Father, in Kenya. I pray for the people of God that your hand will be upon them today. Father, it is great to worship the Lord. Father, to tune in, whether I'm in Florida or whether I'm home, to see the power of God working in the church. Father, I pray for Mark. I pray for Brent. I pray for Tom. I pray for the churches around our area, for Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all over this great nation. God, that you will bless the people of God. Have your way in this church. Have your way in our life. We want to thank you and praise you, God, because we can see it. We can feel it. We can touch it. We can witness it. We can sing about it. We can worship about it. Father, we can hear about it in your word. Have your way today, God. In your holy name I pray and ask all of these things. In Jesus' holy name we ask it. Amen. 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 It is absolutely wonderful to be back. I appreciate the fact of Karen coming and filling the pulpit for me in my absence. I was able to tune in for some of the time between walking and seeing. But it was wonderful to celebrate in the worship. I'm reminded of today and the joy of today, and I know that it is Father's Day, and we celebrate the men of our church. But I also know that there's many of our men who have gone home to be with the Lord. Some of our fathers, friends, dads, loved ones who are not with us, and they've left a wonderful legacy for us as people of God. I'm thankful for the past week and the time to spend. Another thing would have been better is another seven of them to join us, but I think that would, we would have, I don't know, maybe another trip, another day. We miss Sarah and Thomas and their five, but boy, we had a great time and a great opportunity to gather. I'm not sure that I would ever plan to go again in June, but I think there could have been a little cooler time, but hey, it is what it is. We survived, and I didn't sweat any weight off. That's a shame. All the walking didn't do me any good, so I came back a little bit heavier than when I left, and I thought, how is that? But too much food and too much whatever. Dennis Rainey said, what a child can use and too often doesn't have are the heart of his father and the fellowship of children. A child needs at least one man who pays attention to them, spends time with them, and admires them. A child needs a role model and a man whom he can regard as a mentor. Whether you have children or not, we become mentors for the people around us. Dwight Moody said, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he is a Christian, and most of all, his family ought to know. I did not have that mentorship growing up in my life. It was a challenge. All I can tell you is not growing up with a father figure who knew the Lord was extremely difficult. Difficult in understanding the power of God and the power of God's love. I learned a lot of bad habits very early on. Those habits are extremely difficult to break. But I'm thankful that God saw through the darkness and could bring light into my life. I have a long passage to share with you today, so you may want to stand, you may not. But if you don't, I understand that. There's a lot to read. But I want to talk a little bit about a wonderful story, Samuel and David. You may have heard this story in a multitude of ways, but I want to examine for a minute. The Lord looks at the heart. You know, the world today has a tendency to look at who we are. What do we wear? What do we dress? What do we say? How we act? And a lot of things. But in this story, we're reminded that as people of God, as men of God, as people in general, God looks at something that the world doesn't see. And I'm so grateful for that, that God looks at my heart. The truth of the matter is, over some 45 years of marriage, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've looked back at a lot of times and said some things and done some things and wished I would have never opened my mouth. But that's just the facts. And over the course of my life, I've learned and I've grown. I look at my children, and we were sitting on the bus one of these days, and Beth looked at me and said something, and I said, well, you got to remember, at her age or at their age, I was the same way. And she goes, you know, that's an interesting point. I said, give them time. Maybe they'll grow a little bit, hopefully, as I have grown. But this passage speaks at a wonderful text at what God sees. So I've entitled the message, The Lord Looks at the Heart. We're going to look at the passage found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, beginning at verse 34. It's in your large print Bibles under page 443, if you want to turn there. And if you are able to and you want to stand for the entire reading of this word, by all means, go ahead. If you're not able to, I understand completely. And if you're more comfortable or even in the midst of the reading, you feel like sitting down, go ahead. But we're going to look at a few passages in order to make sense of this story. In verse 34 of chapter 15, we begin in partway into the story. Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? This begins chapter 16, verse 1. He said, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. And Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, I come in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. And so the story unfolds. For I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. I'm sure by this time Jesse's kind of going, all right, really? Who's next? Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep, Samuel said. Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. While the promise and covenant and anointing have become exalted in terms of the Jewish tradition, ancient Israelites, perhaps more realistic, the view is entailed. Whether receiving the promise from or entering a covenant, be anointed by the command of God, the people of God learn the hard experience. The relationship was no guarantee of success or security. You know, when you look at this story and you know much about David, there's no guarantee that David was perfect. And we'll know from the onset that David is going to have to fight for his life. He's going to have to remain faithful. There's a lot of trouble ahead for David. David is going to have to deal with Saul and all the terms leading up to it. There are times that David is actually going to run for his life. There are times he's going to lead as a valiant man. There are times that God's Spirit will rest on the man of God, and he will dance and sing for joy, and the Lord's anointing will be upon him. David wasn't called to a life of perfect, but David was called by God, and God anointed his life, and God anointed him in the presence of all the people. And God's anointing rested with the anointing of the oil, and Samuel brought forth and said, "This is God's chosen one." But there's a little bit of a backstory to this, of Saul and Samuel and David. In chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, we see the story unfolding of Saul. God's anointing was to lead Saul to become king. And by chapter 13, we find that God had anointed Saul, but by chapter 13, Saul disobeyed the commands of the Lord. And it grieved Samuel. And God was sad that he had actually anointed Saul as king for his disobedience. Throughout this story, we hear a little bit of concern from Samuel and what's taken place. And by chapter 13, Samuel said, "Why is it that you disobeyed God's commands?" You see, now there's something wonderful in this story, but there's also something of cautious for us as people of faith. When God gives a command and God gives a decree and God anoints you as his chosen individuals, we must take that very seriously. The anointing of God is not something to just throw off. Saul figured in his own humanness that I got this. I'm going to do exactly what God had called me to do. And yet he was not following the commands of God. And it grieved not only God, but Samuel. There's theological implications here, but in this story, this narrative takes on a new depiction. And we're getting from 1 Samuel this whole story and a narration about what has taken place. The rise and fall of Saul and the rise of King David. Now, true as it is, we know the story. And we know that Samuel was clearly distraught over the activities of King Saul. And yet, in his own sense, God says to him in verse 1 of chapter 16, "Samuel, how long are you going to grieve over this? How long are you going to be angry with God? How long are you truly going to sulk over the activities?" You see, one of the things that grieved Samuel was the fact that he felt personally responsible for the activities of Saul. He felt like if he was better as a leader and better as a man of faith, and better to work with Saul, that this wouldn't have happened. The truth of the matter is, sometimes as men, we just go about our own way. I'm just here to say, sometimes we just take it upon ourselves, and we think we know everything, and we just do it. I remember there are times that I would go about doing things, and I wouldn't think about it too much, and I'd start putting things together. You know, guys, we're the ones that kind of get the instructions manual and set them aside and figure we know how to put this together without that. We know how to fix that. Just take it apart. And then by the time we get halfway into it, we go,
maybe we should look at the instruction manuals. I've gotten to the place now to where before I begin a project, I think about it. I think about it way too much. I think about the proper way to build it. How should I go about it? What pitfalls might I face? I wouldn't have thought about that 20 years ago. I'd have been full long into it. I'd have been all over it. I'd have gotten the tools, and I'd started tearing it apart. I remember we were remodeling the house a few years ago. And she says, well, how about if you take this closet down? Not thinking, I went with a sledgehammer. I says, you want it down? It's coming down. Then we're like, well, how do we put this back together now? Because guess what? There's a support above it. And how do I get the wiring to where it needs to go? Should have thought about that before I started tearing it out. Then I finally said, well, maybe this is a little bit above my pay grade. You see, sometimes there's some consideration. And sometimes, as people of faith, we need to take a step back and take it a step at a time. God confronts Samuel in verse 1 and said, it's not you. It's not you. It's God who rejected them as king. The reference to 1 Samuel chapter 8, when God rejected by his people. Remember, in chapter 8, the people are saying, we want a king, we want a king, we want to do it this way. Their failure was totally confronted. After confronting Samuel, God promises a way to restore that. And this whole narration brings us to this culmination of chapter 8. Where we find in chapter 15 and the beginning of chapter 16 to where God finally begins to dedicate one. The promise of God is not one-sided. It depends also on the obedience of Samuel. Samuel has to get the oil, he has to get the heifer, and he has to risk his life to follow what God has in store for him. And the truth of the matter is, this whole story leads us in its narration to David. But what's interestingly enough is God looks at the hearts. God chooses individuals not based on what they can do or who they are. God doesn't choose individuals based on how much they possess or their capabilities. God looks at who they are internally. You know, the beauty of that is to know that even as a young teenager at 14, when I refused to accept the call of God, he kept saying, no, this is what you're going to do. And I kept saying, no, this is not what I'm going to do, God. God kept saying, yes, it is. Yes, you are. No, I'm not, God. You know, you ever have those conversations with God? God already knows what's in your heart. God already knows what the intentions of your hearts are. And in this clustering of words, Samuel's like, okay, God, let's see how this all plays out. I think Samuel has to take a step of faith. And imagine Jesse gathering with all of this and this anointing. And Jesse says, no, we're not going to take all of those. When all the kids come through, I want that one that's out in the field. Where's he at? And then to say, well, we're not going to sit down. We're not going to rejoice until you bring that last one to me. And then all of this outward appearance. Now, David was a nice-looking young lad. He was pretty handsome from all that we can see in this. His outward appearance was very nice. He was a nice young man. I can imagine him out in the sheep field. I'm sure he's pretty fit with all of taking care of the sheep and gathering and building and whatever he had to do and the protection of the sheep. David was probably a pretty nice-looking young man. But God not only saw his appearance, but saw his heart. In the ceremony of the world, it's understood that the oldest of the sons should have received the anointing. The oldest should be the one that's called. The one to follow should have that appearance, not based on outward characteristics, but internal. God often does that, doesn't he? He confounds our understanding. And it shouldn't surprise us when the world sees what they see. Sometimes it's amazing. You know, I often wonder at our work, how is it that these others continue to get these promotions And I think, God, what am I doing differently? And then I keep going back, and God says, wait a second. Maybe that's not for you. And I think, God, but that's what I want. And God says, that's not what I want. You see, there are times I keep wanting something else, and God goes, no. See, I don't always know what's in front of me. You don't always know what's in front of you. And the beauty of it is, we went to these theme parks, and, you know, they have these apps now where you can see all of the stuff on the rides that you're going on. And my son-in-law loved to get out the app and tell us all what this ride was going to do. And there were times that we literally had to sit back and enjoy the ride. You know, the creator of the ride knows what you're going to be involved in. The creator of that ride knows how the ride begins, and it knows how the ride ends. You see, the creator of life, God, knows how you're going to begin. God knows how you're going to end. God knows the story that fills in the gap. God knows that there are going to be twists and turns. God knows that there's going to be darkness. God knows there's going to be rides that go way high, and there'll be some that drop way low. They know that the car is going to turn. You'll be in some dark places. You'll be in some bright places. God knows the story of your life. God knew the story of David's life, and God knew the story of what was going to take place. God knows the intentions of the heart. And what was beauty of it is I could imagine myself on this ride wanting to know what was ahead of me, and then in some respects not wanting to know what's ahead of me. You ever been that way? I want to know the story laid out. God, I want to just, would you just give me a glimpse of all of it? And God says, no. I want you to go along for the ride. Sometimes God wants us in the car, and there's only one spot next to us in some of the cars. And I had my lovely wife in most of them. Other times, she didn't want to ride it. And there are times that sometimes in life, you got to have God next to you. Sometimes you're riding this roller coaster of life. Sometimes it's fast. Sometimes it's slow. And the beauty of that is that what God has in store for you is yet to be told. God wants to see your heart. He wants the intentions of your life to be given to him. Finally, David came from the field and God said, this is the one. You see, God occasionally throughout life says, you know what? This is what I need you to do. You are called of God. You are the chosen one. You're the one that's going to carry it. God is going to anoint you. He's going to call you out. And you're going to bring the sheep of the field together. You see, you don't know what God is able to do through your hand. Your journey is just begun. It's only your willingness to participate in what God has called you to do. See, David had some beautiful eyes. He was a wonderful-looking guy, but God saw his heart. Well, I have to wonder, as I read this story, and as I pondered this, I had to ask myself as a man, what does my heart tell others? You know, if God really anointed my life as he has, we stood on the bus, and there were multiple times that people watched you. People watched you while you were walking. People watched you when you got on the bus. People watched you when you got off of the bus. And I have to wonder, as a person, skip the fact that I'm a man. Let's just call it as people of God. They're watching you and I. They want to see what you're going to do. What does my heart tell others? Have I spoken to my loved ones in a way that encourages God? Has my life spoken of the fact of God in my life? You know, I never once on the bus had to say, hey, yeah, I'm pastor of a church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. My name is Pastor Jim. Welcome on the bus. I didn't have to do that. But the fact is, what did my heart tell others? Was my life speaking volumes? Was my actions with my wife and my children speaking volumes of who I was? Was it the times of helping people on and off of the bus? Was it carrying stuff for others? Is it caring for the little children? Is it watching over the family? Is it doing the actions that we dodge the enemy's bullets and not speak? Because trust me, when it's hot, guess what?
and tempers are on the rise, guess what we have a tendency to do? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We have a tendency to speak to others in a fashion that doesn't resemble a heart of God. I'm just going to call it out. When you watch people in the park and the way they talk to them and the way they talk to their loved ones, the way they dress, you want to talk about a mode of dress? Jeez. I didn't know they had all of them fashions in the world. But go to the park, you'll see them. The truth of the matter is, let's be honest for just a second. What does my heart tell others? Am I going about my life speaking volumes about who I am? Or do I really care nothing about this thing called me, and my life speaks volumes by what I do, what I wear, what I say? And if you want to see it, go sit and watch for hours at Disney. You're going to see it. You see it at breakfast. You see it walking up and down the stairs. You see it in the elevators. You see it walking out to the bus. You see it on the bus when people I'm just amazed. I just have to say it simply. There are times when I watch some guys and some of the ladies who are having struggles, and the guy will not get up out of his seat and give it to someone who needs it more than someone else. I wanted to go grab them by the nap of their hair and say, get out of the chair and let them sit down, would you? I guess there's just some things that speak volumes about the way we are. You get on a bus that's full and more come on, and that person needs a seat, get up out of your seat. You can stand on your 2 feet, whether my foot's hurting or not. Get up and let them sit down. There are just certain things that just drive me crazy. But the point of it is God's anointing on our life speaks volumes. One has to wonder about the leaders in history. Think about Dr. Martin Luther King, letters from the Birmingham jail. Did it speak volumes about what he was willing to do? What about the prophets of the 8th century? What about the Apostle Paul in Tarsus in Rome? What about Acts chapter 17? What about his standing in the Areopagus? What about his fact of speaking the name of Jesus? And he said, listen, you guys can do whatever you want. Some of you want to worship this gold and silver over here. Some of you want to worship this wood that was carved over here. Some of you want to worship this stone. But my God, let me just tell you, folks in the Areopagus, my God is not a God made of wood or stone or finest precious metal. My God is alive. And what it tells us is what's in my heart will tell others what is on my life. If I'm wearing Jesus, it's going to show in who I am. Even Elizabeth Cady Stanton, in the Seneca Fall Declaration of 1848, she faced enormous opposition, but her whole life was dedicated to the aggrieved, oppressed, fraudulent of those deprived. The Lord sees our heart, and the world will see what it tells others. Finally, God sees what man cannot. Yahweh's choice for David is based on some hidden criteria. God knew what David was capable of doing. God knew that his outward appearance wasn't all of it. God knew what David was capable of rising to. You see, in David's anointment as the king, and God's resting on him, if you read the story of David, there are times that God literally overshadows David. God anoints him. And I love the story of David being in the power of God's anointing, strips off his clothes and dances for the Lord. Now, I'm not sure that's one of the things that what we need to see today. But what we need to see is a fresh anointing of God. The Lord looks at our heart. What God knows is what you and I are capable of doing. He knows what power and love, what heights we can achieve, and what things are in front of us. God knows that today is a day that it should be looking at our heart, the life of people, and what God can do in the life of the church. The truth of the matter is, this is a wonderful story. God chose David. God chooses you and I. What will God see in you today? Will he see an opportunity of success? Will he see the greatness that you can achieve? Will God allow you to grow, to take the roller coaster ride of life. And will God bless you in this journey. Father, thank you for this time, Lord God. Thank you for the call of God upon our life. Thank you for the blessings. Father, I'm so thankful that you see what the world cannot see. I'm thankful that with you, God, you will allow the world to see what you see in us. Father, I pray that today you will bless your people. You'll pour your spirit upon us. You will anoint us as your chosen ones. Father, let us walk today in the power of your spirit. And let, God, what's in our heart be shown in our life. We thank you and praise you, God. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen.
Some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
I pray that today God will bless you. God will pour open his spirit upon you, and he will anoint you. I pray, God, that today as we leave as people of faith, that your hand of anointing will rest upon us. Father, let the world see what you've already seen in us. Let them see the power of your love. Let us be people of faith, people that trust in you, God. Anoint us with your presence. Guide us and bless us today. We thank you and praise you. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Guys, don't forget, see me for the blessings that I have for you. Got to get your car washed.